Welcome to episode 170 of Teidoigawa Bookmakers at teidoigawabookmakers.podbean.com. Thanks for dropping by. In the past hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, I have made three books. I have cased in three books. One was good. Two were, I have seen better by myself, among other people. Let me tell you what they were. The good one was a schedule book, a 2018 and 19 diary, which included lots of pictures and, of course, calendars and weekly calendars and a monthly calendar. And it was about A5 in size, which is A4 folded in half. It came out fairly well. It had rounded corners. I almost put in a strap to keep it closed. Then I thought it would look too much like moleskin. Or moleskine, or moleskine, or moleskine, however it's pronounced. Although the cover was not flat, it was a cloth, it was a t-shirt. It was a t-shirt and changed into a book cloth with some paper on the back. Generally speaking, it came out okay after some frustrations. So I decided to make two more books. The other two books, the first one is part of my Calvado Pentology. This one is called The Year Without Days. It is about a cult which tries to terrorize Tokyo and get new members. It is also about people who try to stop them and who work for them. And it is a love story, of course, as are most of my books' love stories. This time it concerns a young woman from the island of Kyushu and a man who runs a dirigible or a blimp or a zeppelin or one of those big hot air balloons that looks like the Goodyear blimp, and how they try to stop or not stop the cult. The second book is called The Priests of Hiroshima. In The Priests of Hiroshima, the heroine of Calvado is in Istanbul, and she stumbles into a bookstore and through a variety of circumstances and coincidences ends up going back in time, or maybe not back in time. Yes, it's a time travel book. She goes back in time to when Gutenberg was making his Bible, and there's a priest back there and a nun back there, and the relationship between the two, priest and the nun, and the priest and his bishop and Calvado and these people. And then, of course, takes place in current day Istanbul and relationships with people there. It's a time-traveling love story. The Priests of Hiroshima and The Year Without Days, where I'm going to put this down to practice because one came out fairly bad and one came out not even fairly good, but I'd pass me. If I were a teacher, I would give my student who made that book a C. Give that student a C, and the other book, The Priests of Hiroshima, I think I'd probably give him a C minus because I made a major mistake with the paper grain of the cover, But for the first one, for the schedule, for the 2018 schedule, I'd give me a solid B. I have gotten A's from myself before, but this time it's B's and C and maybe C minus. Maybe even a do-over. Not acceptable. Anyway, that's what I've done today. I have made three books. I have improved my making of books ability, which is why I'm going to put these two books down as practice. Anyway, let's have a little reading from one of those two books. The writing is okay. It's making the books that are. So let's read chapter one. A fairly short chapter of The World Without Days. No, not The World. The Year Without Days. Okay, here's why the student is no longer going to get a C on the one book, The World Without Days. See, I did it again. It's not The World Without Days. It's The Year Without Days. It says so right on the cover page, The Year Without Days. What does it say on the cover? Yeah, that's right. It says The World Without Days. It's not The World Without Days. It's The Year Without Days. Even the table of contents says The Year Without Days. It's my book. Why can't I remember it? Anyway, chapter one. Shinjuku Station. The bald young man threaded his way through the throng of commuters and tourists, careful not to make eye contact with anyone. At 8 in the morning, the world's busiest train station was glutted with millions of people rushing to work sites. The bald-headed man wasn't one of them. He concentrated on the plan. He passed two police officers, looked away, then, catching himself, he looked back at them without a smile or a nod of recognition. He didn't want to look guilty. He didn't want them to stop him or look into his suitcases. Getting caught would destroy the plan. And the plan was of the utmost urgency. The church demanded, required, insisted on the success of the plan. It was as the prophecy predicted, according to Mother Joy. One police officer, as young as the bald man, watched him. A bit odd, he thought, but then he surveyed the millions of people swirling around him. A few would be askew with reality. The officer watched until the bald-headed person was absorbed in the crush of commuters. The bald-headed man mounted the stairs to the Chuo line. He bumped shoulders with people descending the stairs as he placed one foot in front of the other. He was headed for the 805 Chuo line, headed to Tokyo Station. The platform kiosk was busy. Businessmen and women rushed up to it, tossed coins in the tray, mumbled routine words to the kiosk clerk, and grabbed a newspaper, a magazine, a can of hot coffee, an onigiri, or a sandwich, then hurried to catch their train. It was the Shinjuku rush hour. Nearly 4 million people needed to scramble through the sprawling station, catch a bus, and hurry to their jobs. Acting casual, unconcerned, aloof, the bald-headed man put his small dark briefcase on the floor beside the kiosk, purchased a newspaper and a can of coffee. He opened the coffee and unfolded his paper. He scanned the headlines, sipped his coffee, and glanced at the board announcing arriving and departing trains. The 805 was on time. Not infrequently, the 805 was delayed by a human accident, which meant some poor lost soul jumped in front of a train intent on ending his suffering. Too many times, the bald-headed man thought. He folded his newspaper, finished his coffee, looked at the arrival and departure board, and hurried to the far end of the platform to catch the 805 to Tokyo Station. The plan, he smiled, was working. At 8:03, an orange Chuo line train bound for Tokyo Station squealed to a stop in front of thousands of commuters. The doors opened. A flood of humans rushed out. As the last stragglers exited the train, a surge of humans piled in. Seats were grabbed. White-gloved assistants pushed riders into the overcrowded cars. The bald-headed man allowed himself to be jostled and pushed. At 8:04, the conductor blew his whistle, pointed up and down the track, waved his arm, and the doors smashed shut. At 8:05, the train pulled out of Shinjuku Station, leaving the bald-headed man's dark briefcase on the floor beside the kiosk, ticking. And that's the first chapter of The Year Without Days, not The World Without Days. Don't remember the world, remember The Year Without Days. Thank you for listening. Thank you for dropping by. Hope to see you again soon. Bye-bye.